Hey, great friends. What's going on? It's a Thursday afternoon. Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man just getting ready to get rolling. I'm going to try and be as brief as I can be today. Let's see how fast I can actually do this. I always want to give love and thanks to all of our great partners who help us do what we do every day so that we can all be together. So here goes, bro. 7 Mile Casino, you want to play blackjack, poker, table games, have great food in a smoke-free environment 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego? I promise you this right now. There is no better place to play, eat, convenient, no smoking, have fun. 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. Any problems with gambling? You call 1-800-GAMBLER. Hey, speaking of gambling, I took the night off from Prize Picks because I was cold. I got hot. I had a $20 play that paid 6 times my money, $120. I took the night off because I had Caitlin Clark 2 nights ago to score more than half a point. She did. And today, Thursday, I've got the dart-throwing 17-year-old international phenom, Luke Littler, who I need to have more than 3 180s. And I'm hoping I win that one because then all of a sudden I have come back. Prize Picks. Download the app. They match your first deposit 100%. When you use our code, great friends, they match it 100% up to $100. You put in 100, they put in 100. Let's all play together. Me, you, Grande, Browner, and 5 million people worldwide playing Prize Picks. Okay, keep it on. Our people at Torrey Holistics, California Holistics, Oxnard Holistics. There are tons of places to buy weed, okay? Tons of places. Alex, there you go. But I want everybody to use this QR code. Okay, click the QR code to take you right to Torrey Holistics. You spend $75 or more, you use our code Kaplan Crew, you save 20%. Lots of places to buy weed, whether it's for anxiety, pain, recreation, sleep, your choice, man. But you save 20% when you use our partners, California and Chula Vista, Torrey in Sereno Valley, and Oxnard in the 805. Let's do it, man. I mean, that's the place to get your stuff, okay, right there. Hey, our friends at Blenders Eyewear, blenderseyewear.com. Listen, summer's coming. You're going to want to get some new sunglasses. But I've always been the kind of person that had a pair of sunglasses. Maybe I had a backup pair. But why would you stop at one pair or two pairs when you could have 5 pairs, 10 pairs? Every time you go someplace, people are like, dude, dope new glasses. You just get those? You got a collection. You know, people that are sneakerheads, you should be a sunglass head because Blenders Eyewear has polarized lenses, super fashionable frames, and they are inexpensive, especially when you use our code Kaplan, you save 20%. BlendersEyewear.com or in-store. Hey, our people at Life Brew Coffee, L-Y-F-E, Life Brew Coffee. This is a national new thing. Everybody's talking about mushroom coffee. And I know it takes a time to like explain it to people. Mushrooms, you mean like I'm going to get like trippy out? No. These are natural mushrooms that have health benefits. What I notice when I take the Life Brew coffee is real focus, real concentration. A lot of these mushrooms also have elements to them that are about anti-inflammation. So for whatever it is that you enjoy it, it tastes great. You're going to love it. Try it. Support local. Use our code GREATFRIENDS. You're saving 30%. Life, L-Y-F-E, lifebrew.com. And hey, shout out to my guy, Gary Cooper, Mountain Trust Realty Services, 858-376-1299. Never make a move in real estate without talking to Gary. You're thinking about buying? Good luck. You're thinking about selling. You might want to move. You're thinking about a home equity line of credit because you got a lot of credit cards to pay off. I realize that it's not the greatest time, but an 8% interest rate is better than a 25% interest rate on the credit cards. Talk to Gary Cooper, 858-376-1299. Let's start what should be a bloodbath today. Let's start the show. Hey, great friends. What's going on? It is a Thursday afternoon. It's Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. And we're coming to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. Hey, look, while we're just getting onto the airwaves of 1090, while we're getting onto the stream of YouTube, to all of our great friends who are with us on television tonight on Channel 4 San Diego and beyond on the Cox Your View Network, to all of you guys who are with us on all the different audio podcasting platforms. Let me just have 1 second to say this. If you're looking for the place to be in San Diego, 7 Mile Casino is it. Blackjack, poker, other table games, Sammy's Restaurant and Bar inside the casino, no smoking, 24/7, wide open, great parking, and freeway access. I mean, literally right off the freeway, 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego, about a quarter mile north of the Gaylord Project in Chula Vista. 7 Mile Casino is the place to be. You're going to be a big winner. Good luck. And you got any problems with gambling, you call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. We're just getting onto the airwaves. Grande, Brown Man, good afternoon. I'm expecting a bloodbath today because the Padres not only lost the first two games of the series to the Rockies, but they played yesterday afternoon. And not only did they get swept by the Rockies, to add to all of it, they got shut down, beaten up, 8-0 shutout at home. And by the way, Slam Diego? Yeah, Slam Diego. If you're the Rockies, you hit grand slams. If you're the Padres, you get shut out and swept at home by the Colorado Rockies. Freaking embarrassing. And now, on the road to Atlanta. Should we assume that because they beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3, then got swept by Colorado, they'll actually go on the road and play better against one of the best teams in baseball, the Braves? I don't know, man. I'm not very bullish on this team right now. So good afternoon, gentlemen. I say it'll be a bloodbath because I think we got a lot of post-game sound from yesterday, including a 4-minute post-game Manny Machado piece that we're going to have to take a listen to the entire thing. Grande, what's going on today?
Nothing good. Nothing good. But, well, it depends who you ask, I guess. It depends who you ask. You know, you ask some players, it's not good enough. It's bad. You know, terrible series. You ask some players, it's just baseball. That's what happens. You ask the manager, what's the problem here? We're doing well. Look at the metrics, y'all. Last 2 weeks, we are a better team today than we were 2 weeks ago. So it just depends who you ask. You ask me, I find what I saw yesterday to give me PTSD from 2023. Because to lose two games to the Rockies is one thing. To finish the series by getting shut out and swept by the Rockies. We saw that against the Pirates last year. We saw that against, I believe, the Royals last year. So yeah, I'm having traumatic flashbacks, and I don't think all is hunky-dory in the land of Padres baseball. So excuse me if I don't agree with the manager. We'll get into it. I get what he's doing. The reverse Bob Melvin. Bob Melvin was cranky old immediately, and he was never going to sugarcoat it. Mike Schilt, metrics. Look at them. We're good. All good. Nothing to worry about here. So that's me.
Big Brown, opening thoughts?
Well, I guess you just got to ask yourself, what is bad? What's bad? What's good? Because they don't know. One guy says they played bad. One guy says they didn't play bad. So yeah, if they don't know what's good or bad, who am I? Who am I to tell you what's good or bad? Hell, they don't know. I don't know either then. So I'm going to just put it like this. This is a 500 team. And they're going to be that. Whether it's a couple games over it, or a couple games below it. That's just what this team going to be. So the sooner we accept that as a whole, we right back where we started. Pew, pew.
Mm-hmm. Right. Successful season, 500.
You feel me? As soon as we accept that, baby, then we're going to be good. Now, 500 might be good enough for a playoff run. 500 might not be good enough for a playoff run. But they're going to be in that window. That's their window. That's their dance move. Yeah, we got to accept it. We got to accept it, man. I don't know how Manny Machado is hearing himself say we played bad or I played bad. No, we didn't play bad. We played. We didn't play bad. Did you? What? Huh? What? Huh? Then the book goes, oh, we played bad. Mm-hmm. Joe Musgrove, well, they're a bad team. They didn't play like a bad team. Bro, what?
Joe Musgrove.
What? Yeah, Joe Musgrove, what'd he say? Why was he talking?
I'm reading what's written.
Where was that written?
As Nas once said, it was written.
That's all I'm asking. Where was that written?
He wrote it down and then he read it.
Send me the link, dog.
Yeah, dog. Let me say this.
Anyway, he's going to come save the day on Sunday. Don't worry about him.
Let me just say this. False. We're gonna jump into it here in 1 second. So for everybody that's with us, radio, TV, YouTube, audio podcast, we're going to jump right into it. I promise you that right now. Before we do, though, I'm going to tell you fools something. All right. I had a very hard time sleeping last night. Very hard time.
So did Padre fans.
Okay. Well, I wasn't losing sleep over the Padres getting swept or getting shut out.
Trust me. We know.
Yeah. I was losing sleep because I knew that I had to wake up this morning at 4:45 a.m.
Oh, my God.
So that I could be sitting in front of Adrian Gonzalez's house at 5:20 a.m. so that I could be on time and ready to start this Adrian Gonzalez workout at 5:30 a.m. And I realized that when I couldn't sleep because I just, every time I rolled over, I was like, what time is it? Oh my God, what time is it? Am I going to miss this thing? I don't want to miss this thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't sleep well at all. And then I woke up at 4:30 and I was like, okay, you know what? I'm getting up. And so I woke up, I got up, I left my hotel room, my crib. Okay.
Oh.
And then it was a 13-minute drive from downtown LA to Adrian Gonzalez's crib. Okay. And I got there at about 5:05 a.m. and realized I had about 15 minutes to sit in my car and wait and hope that people around his neighborhood weren't like, there's a strange car in front of AG's house. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you know something right now, Browner. I did that workout today with Adrian Gonzalez and all the dads from the school. And it was fun. It was great. I mean, I haven't worked out like that, done circuit training like that in quite a long time. It makes me immediately think to myself, you know what? I got to start doing circuit training at 6 o'clock in the morning. Like 5:30 I can do, but 6 o'clock's even better. 6 to 7 I can do no problem. I think I got to go and start getting myself into one of these like circuit training classes. F45, Orange Theory, something like that.
Bro, I thought you'd already gone to F45. What happened to that?
I did, but the timing didn't work. But now that I'm up at five, now that I did this 5:30 workout, I'm like, you know what? 5:30 is great. Get it done 5:30 to 6:30.
Come on, man. Awesome, you think LA Cap is going to go to some musty ass F45 with no real LA people there? Come on now. This man woke up at 4:45 because he went to a multi-million dollar mansion in Los Angeles to go work out privately. You think this guy's going to go be with the people?
No,
the guy that sits front row at Dodger Stadium? Come on now.
If I remember correctly, a friend of the show has a very nice gym in North County where I'm sure he could circuit train with some people of high, public exposure.
Who's the friend in North County that has a nice gym?
Know.
Oh, that's true. He does. No, but I'm serious. Like I loved F45 for the short period of time that I went to it. I'd go again. Now that I'm up at 5:30 and I'm realizing that I need more time in the day, so I got to get to sleep earlier and I got to get up earlier. It was great. Adrian Gonzalez is such a great, great dude. And I called my son who's back in Pittsburgh on the way there. And I said, hey man, he goes, what are you calling me so early for? I go, well, I'm going to Adrian Gonzalez's house to work out. He goes, you're going to Adrian's house to work out? I'm like, yeah. And my son goes, you know, Adrian's my favorite athlete of all time. Don't you remember when I was like 10 years old and me and Adrian and Edgar were on the field at Petco having a catch? I'm like, I don't. But if you say you did, then I believe it. And dude, Adrian was great. And we did circuit training for a full hour and it was awesome. I loved it, dude. And his friends were all cool guys. And he has some big celebrities that do show up to these workouts. But as for this one today. Yeah, right. I was as good as it got, and I'm a nobody. So,
You're LA Cap, man.
You feel me? So I do feel you. I do feel you.
Right? Look who's working out of your house.
Yeah,
you almost C-list now in LA. You got billboards.
You're on the list though.
I'm on a D list. You're on a list. I'm on a list.
Do you have a SAG card yet?
Yeah.
See.
See, I mean, come on. I'm in the union.
Bro, you got a sad card. You got a badge.
It's a union shop, dog. I mean, come on.
I seen you interviewing the dude that from like, what was who you were interviewing yesterday? Wasn't he like some reality dating show host or something?
Who that? No. That's my friend David Lasher. He was on the show Hey Dude. You know
there
that
you go.
Show?
See, he was on TV.
Yeah, he's on Hey Dude. Yeah. He was on Sabrina the Witch or something
Teenage
like that.
Witch. Yeah, I knew I recognized him.
He was on 902. No, that's my boy.
Who am I thinking of? The dating show, Roger Lodge. That wasn't him. They kind of look alike, though.
Yeah, they do kind of look alike. You're right. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted you to Roger Lodge. So I just wanted you to know, Browner. Shout out to Roger Lodge. And Roger Lodge, by the way, is a Kaplan and Crew listener because he does mornings up at 8:30. He's had a great run on the Angels radio station, and he communicates with me a lot.
Let's bring him on the show.
I'll gladly bring Roger on the show.
I got some dating questions for him.
Yeah, gladly.
You need help on that department.
Yeah, really. Sex drop Saturday.
I need about the show. I don't need to.
So I just wanted you guys to know that I was committed to the project. I showed up at Adrian's house and I did the workout.
I didn't believe.
And I'll tell you this. Be prepared.
I knew he would. There's no way. Because you can't tell Adrian you're going to go, going to go, and then you don't show up. Because then you don't get invited back.
Right. And I'll just tell you this right now. I am worried about tomorrow and potential real soreness tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm talking about tonight.
I think it's going to hit you today. I was going to say, like, you might be up and you might be doing LA Cap stuff. And all of a sudden, you're like,
what? You sit down for a large portion of the day.
Yeah.
Talking.
Yeah,
you gonna try to get up too quick at some point.
Yeah, yeah, right.
All of a sudden, I'm calling.
All of a sudden, I got the Kirk Cousins Achilles. You know what I'm saying?
You feel me?
So, I do. All right, so let's get back to it. This is Kaplan and Crew. It is a Thursday afternoon. We come to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studio, 7milecasino.com. I want to just get right into this Manny Machado thing. So let's start with this.
Yeah,
Padres get swept at home by the Rockies. And this is coming off winning 2 out of 3 against the first place Dodgers. And it's sandwiched between having to play
4 straight series wins.
Right. They had won 4 straight series. They beat the Dodgers. They're still home. They lose to the Rockies, get swept, and get shut out in the final game. And then they got to go on the road and go to Atlanta. So this is not good at all. So because of the players being booed earlier in the week and Manny Machado hitting into 3 straight double plays on first pitches, where he swung on first pitches, now the media is going to Manny Machado because the fans are all over him. And by the way, I'm sure that Manny Machado and these guys in the clubhouse are like, what the hell is going on out there?
I don't think so.
They're booing us? Really? Because they've been loving us, showing up for every game. Not Manny. All right, so
we'll see.
Tell me what we're about to listen to.
By the way, Manny followed up his double play performances by going 0-for-4 yesterday with 3 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. So
nice.
The blues were raining.
No double
heavy
plays.
This is courtesy of our girl Marty Caswell. I'm going to play it straight from her YouTube page because I think we need there's 4 minutes and 36 seconds of this. And I find it important to play the whole thing.
Okay.
And just so you guys can get a sense of the vibe he's given off. Cool. Okay.
All right, so should we pause it in the middle, or should we just let
whenever you feel like you want to pause it, I can pause it. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I know your manager said several times in post game that the sky is not falling in this clubhouse, but what is the sense of frustration after getting swept at home by the Rockies?
I mean, we lost. I mean, you know, obviously, we don't really want to lose. You know, they're really good baseball right now, so you know, they came out here and you know put it on us.
Is it more a reflection on the Rockies, or is this series more a reflection of what you guys are at right now?
They play good baseball. You gotta tip your cap when they come in here. They've been playing really good baseball. They've you know, took advantage of the situations. They you know, they hit the ball really well. They pitched the ball really well as well. So you know, they outbeat us.
With the talent that you guys have on this team, though, especially playing at home, is this a team that you feel that you should take care of, especially when you're playing at home?
I mean, yeah, we want to win games at the end of the day. It's about winning baseball games. And but you can never take away. They play really good baseball, you know, and there's going to be times where you go out there and it's a baseball game. We have confidence in the guys in here that we have in here. And, you know, we're going to go out there and compete every single day like we did. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't go your way. And, you know, you got to tip your cap. They beat us and they play really well. They pitched, they play both parts of the ball really well. They hit, pitched well, and you know, they swept us.
Manny, we heard the fans boo more than once today. Was it deserved or not? And what does the message send?
The what? I mean, honestly, I've been focusing on the game. I didn't really hear. So, you know, they boo. Yeah, we played really bad baseball. That's deserved. So, but at the end of the day, we go out there, we compete, and you know, at the end of the day, you got to tip your cap off to the other team. They play really good baseball, and you know, it is what it is.
What made Dumber tough today, and what you see out of the lineup as a whole?
I mean, they all week threw well. You know, they made their pitches, they executed, especially runners in scoring position. They you know, they threw the ball well. And we're just gonna execute.
You say you played bad baseball. Does it matter just not hitting well?
Who said bad baseball?
You just
said. I didn't say bad baseball. I said bad baseball?
Yeah,
I did. Oh, my bad. We didn't play bad baseball. We just didn't execute at the end of the day. Yeah, they played well. They pitched well. They hit well. You know, they did everything right, and we just couldn't capitalize. We came back in a couple games. We just couldn't get that extra hit. But, yeah, I mean, you know, tip your cap.
Pause it for one second. You know what's funny is that Marty is doing such a great job at the beginning, and Manny knows that she's a friendly. she's going to ask some tougher questions, but he knows where she's coming from. She's coming from a place of, I love you guys. I love this team. Once AC jumps in and asks him a question about playing bad baseball, right away he gets nasty.
Bad baseball. I didn't play bad. I didn't say that.
Did he say it? Did he say we played bad baseball?
I mean, he's been saying, he said baseball so many times that I just lost
track. Yeah, he hypnotizes me.
Good baseball, bad baseball, baseball, that's just baseball. Yeah.
And so then when AC says, yeah, you said bad baseball, he goes, oh, my bad. All right, let's go back to, and by the way, anybody who's driving right now, be careful, because I know Manny could put you to sleep. Go ahead.
All right.
You guys were down big early. Mm-hmm. You guys come back. That's a difficult situation to be in. How much of a challenge is that to be down?
I mean, we've been in this situation before, so we weren't even, we weren't even worried. We had confidence that we'd come back. We just didn't, couldn't get the opportunities. He was mix and matching. He was throwing really, keeping us a little bit off balance, throwing the ball really well. At the end of the day, it's sometimes you have to tip your cap to them having success. You know, sometimes we go out there and we succeed as well. And, they're playing good baseball right now, so they just beat us.
I feel like you guys are inconsistent because there's some excellent games and then there's...
I mean, there's a lot of words that, you guys put into our into these, like right now, you're just saying inconsistent. You know, you're putting that into this conversation. I feel like we're playing good baseball. We just didn't play good baseball this weekend. And, we got to turn the page, enjoy this off day tomorrow and, start off, tough road trip, on the right path.
With that clarification that you didn't feel like you played bad baseball, that you did some things well, is there anything you can do now this weekend going forward to make the results maybe reflect?
I mean, it's a three-game series. I mean, it happens. It's baseball. You know, it's the beauty of 162 games.
I can't even take
the other team on the other side, they weren't playing really good baseball for first month and a half. And look at them coming here. They're on a 6-7 game winning streak. So that's just baseball, That's how it is. We came off of a good weekend playing good baseball. And, we had some good at-bats all week. We just didn't execute when the time was to it. And, it is what it is. We just enjoy it. Take it and, enjoy this off day tomorrow. And, get ready for Friday.
Okay. All right. Enough.
You dropped two. It is what it is.
That and also, AC asked him about inconsistency. He gets like a little perturbed, but you got to understand what they all want from him. And you guys know this, but what everybody else I'm sure understands as well. What they all want from him is they all want him to go full blown Manny.
Yeah.
They're trying to inspire him to be as big of a dick as he can be. They're asking him things and leading him into hoping that he will say something that will go viral. I mean, I don't think there's anything to be offended about with inconsistency. Is it? I guess maybe if you're Manny, you're like, what's inconsistent? I went up there three straight times. I swung at the first pitch three straight times. I hit the ball to third base three straight times. I hit into a double play three straight times. And then, by the way, yesterday I struck out three times. So would you call that inconsistent? I would call that very consistent.
Listen, I don't know what to do with this guy now. I really don't. I really don't, man. Like, you said you played bad. Like, you just said that. And then when he said, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Yeah. I said that. My bad.
I could see why Padre fans turn so quickly on him. And also...
quick.
Like, because it's... to his credit, I'll give him this. When he's on a roll... or when he's terrible, he's the same dude. He's the same dude. But at the same time, when you're terrible, I think fans want you to show some sort of anything. You know what I mean? Like, show something.
Well, he's doing a good job, though, of not getting pulled into...
to anything.
Yeah.
And that's bad infuriating.
Baseball. Bad baseball, good baseball, right, that's like, baseball, we'll play, tip their cap.
We'll play Xander. We'll play Michael King, right? They look pissed off. They look like flustered, they're mad.
We'll play him coming back. We'll play Michael King. We'll play Xander Bogaerts. And we'll see how many times everybody else says tip their cap. Because gosh, Manny says tip your cap 5,000 times. Stick around. We're just getting rolling. We're in the 7 Mile Casino studio, 7milecasino.com. Our top story today, Padres swept at home and shut out by the Rockies before a road trip to Atlanta. But look, we're going to be talking about NFL schedule, too. Stick around. This is Kaplan and Crew. Hey, everybody. What's going down? It is a Thursday afternoon. Got Grande and the Brown Man. This is Kaplan and Crew. And whether you're listening on 1090, on traditional terrestrial AM radio from our home base in San Diego all the way up through the Central Coast. If you are watching on TV tonight on the Cox Your View Network, that could be in Santa Barbara, LA, Orange County, San Diego. And by the way, we should have a big audience tonight because the Padres are not playing. They're off, so we don't have that competition. If you're listening on audio podcast, whenever that may be, glad you guys are all here. And to all of our YouTube viewers and listeners, you guys are the home base. You guys are where we do all of our business, all right? The live chat is going. Make sure you get in on it. And make sure you like, subscribe, share, comment, all the things that help the show on YouTube as we head towards 10,000 subscribers. I had dinner with a buddy of mine last night, and he's got a daughter who has a YouTube channel where she gets ready for school. Mm-hmm. She got like 700,000 subscribers on YouTube. She's 13 years old, you know? So all we're trying to do is get to 10,000. She got 700,000. She's 12 years old, 13 years old, making bank, by the way, signed with Creative Artists Agency. She's a YouTube sensation at 13 years old, and she's represented by CAA, and we're trying to get to 10,000 YouTube subscribers. Come on. Help a brother.
Hire to her.
Hire her.
Respect we should hire her. Or we should get her to, like, do something about us hire on us. Her YouTube channel.
Can we sign her to NIL deal or something?
Yeah, really. She got to go in the transfer portal for us.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the Padres. They were swept at home by the lowly Colorado Rockies. And you can tell me the Rockies have won 7 straight games, and that's impressive. Will the Padres win 7 straight games at any point this season?
No.
Okay. Padres had won 4
straight series. Write that down, Joe. No chance. Hear that?
No, not happening. Padres won 4 straight series. They beat the Dodgers. Then they play the Rockies and get swept. And then in the last game, as if, like, you figure after 2 straight games of losing and losing the series, they come out in the third game and they bring you their best. And they remind you, hey, you know what? It's just a couple of games. No big deal. No, they lose and they get shut out. And that completes the sweep. So for those of you that are just getting with us, we listened to 4 minutes of Manny Machado attempting and doing it successfully to put us to sleep. He did. He told us that he tipped his cap. He told us they played great baseball. They threw the ball well. They hit the ball well. We didn't do any of those things. We missed our opportunities. We had opportunities, et cetera. Tip the cap, tip the cap, tip the cap. It is what it is. That's what Manny said. But, you know, Manny Machado, I love the fact that people are booing him because, dude, when you get paid what you get paid and you have carried this team at times, and then last year, the disaster that it was, bro, people just have high expectations, not just of Manny Machado, but the 3 guys who make the most money on this team. 3 guys that are all $30 million a year ball players: Manny, Fernando, and Xander. And when you look at their numbers together, it's not good enough. It is not good enough. Take a look at some of these numbers, everybody. And for those of you listening on radio and audio, go ahead, Alex. Tell everybody how bad it really is.
This is about the last 3 weeks here. So Manny's hitting .167, on-base percentage .203, .524 with runners in scoring position, 17 strikeouts, 3 walks. Bogart's hitting .191, 2 home runs, .203 on-base percentage, 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position, 20 strikeouts, 1 walk. Compared to those numbers, Tatis looks like a damn superstar. .250. Yeah. .338 on base, .314 runners scoring position, 22 strikeouts, 7 walks. So, yeah, I mean, and since April 26th, which is where these stats are from, they're 8-10 in that span. So,
see, I would even take Tatis out of there because that, I mean, when you put him just, in there,
yeah,
it makes him look like he's doing good,
right?
Compared to these two jokers, I wouldn't put him in there because it lessens the blow for him.
I agree.
Look like, hey, these guys need to pick it up.
You look like a, like I said, you look like a damn superstar compared to these 2 guys. Look at this.
If these dudes were doing what I was doing, we'd be okay.
We'd be all right.
I mean, if you're Tatis and Xander, you're like, hey, at least I got 2 home runs. I mean, where's Manny? 1 home run.
The I mean, 167.
167. Oh. And by the way, 17 strikeouts to 3 walks. That's terrible. Only to be made even better. I mean, Manny looks better compared to Xander. Dude, 20 strikeouts? No, and 1 walk? since April 26th. So that's like the last two plus weeks. Really, dude?
18 games. That's 18 games. 8-10. So if you want to tell me too, because we're about to listen to it, if you want to tell me that this team is better than they were 2 weeks ago after what you've just seen, I don't know what we're watching. Listen, play the damn clips, because I'm telling you, we have an analytical nerd on our as a manager. Okay, that's all I can tell you.
I'll play the clips. Here we go. Hey, listen, before we do, just give me 1 second. I just want to mention everybody. Hey, today is May 16th. Oh, by the way, happy birthday to my daughter, Jillian, who you guys know, 22 years old, just graduated. She's still in Costa Rica.
Must be nice.
Must be nice. 22 years old, just graduated from Boise State, and has a 10-day post-graduation adventure in Costa Rica. Yesterday, she was out fishing. She caught tuna. They cut them up. They gave them fresh fish. She and her buddies, who she's staying with, had dinner in this Airbnb. Dude, she is living her best life, and I'm here for it. So happy birthday to my daughter, Jillian. But I just want to say, we're getting now into mid-May. We're gonna start getting into June, July, August, September, October, the best months of the year. You got to go get your new blenders, whether you're going to the Encinitas store or you're going to the PB store, or you're shopping online at blenderseyewear.com, or you just click on the QR code that's right here on our screen. You don't need one new pair of sunglasses. You need 5-6 new pairs of sunglasses, so that every time you show up, you got a new pair of glasses on, and people are like, damn, dude, you got a nice glasses collection. You're darn right I do. That's because each pair of blenders, about $79. You take the 20% off with our code Kaplan. You save 20%. You go buy one pair of Ray-Bans in the mall, $300. You scratch them, you break them, you lose them, you're pissed. Blenders, you can buy 5-6 pairs for the same amount of money. So go out and get those blenders. Use our code Kaplan. Save 20%. Support local San Diego companies. And we appreciate you guys using our promo code. All right, Alex, where would you like to start? You want to use Mike Schilt? You want to do Xander Bogaerts?
Let's start with what we all probably feel. Let's start with the players that are living in reality before we get to Mike Schilt.
Okay.
Here's Xander Bogaerts on being... Well, the two questions are about being booed. Here's Xander Bogaerts.
When you make a defensive reaction, there's a lot of booing, especially after you played so well against the Dodgers, for them to kind of jump on you guys pretty quickly this series.
1-0 homer. I heard boo already. We all want to play well, you know, and we all want to contribute. Play better. You don't like the boos, play better. That's all I can say.
What did he say at the beginning?
Where they went down 1-0 and they're booing already? He's like, you know, the people. I think he doesn't agree with it. I think that's what I'm getting. But it's like 1-0, they're booing already.
But I do like him saying, hey, you don't want to be booed, play better, dog.
I've always liked Xander Bogaerts. I really genuinely do. The guy never BS's anything. He just tells you what he's feeling. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. I love it. Man.
He got play.
Just play better, bro.
Yeah,
play better, dog.
I like
him. Yeah, play. All right, here's Michael King, who was not the Michael King we saw with the Dodgers. This is the Michael King, the average Michael King. Average would have been nice. This was terrible yesterday. Here's Michael King also being booed.
We don't hear very often here at Petco our fans booing, but we heard that today on more than one occasion. What's the message, and do you blame them for doing it?
No, I think we're fully deserving of it. You know, if we were playing that poorly. I continue to think that we have some smart fans here, and they know when they're watching bad baseball. And so we gotta figure that out.
See, now there's a guy.
Great answer.
Michael King. Great answer. Likeable answer. You know, we have smart fans here. They're smart enough to not just keep kissing our asses because they like being at Petco Park, and they like the beer, and they like the tri-tip sandwich. And I mean, listen, I'm paying a ton of, and I say,
there's also a correlation between those two guys.
Yeah, I don't mean me. Yes, there's a correlation. People are paying a lot of money for parking, for seats, for beer, for food, for merch. They're paying a lot of money, more so than ever before, because the Padres have a higher payroll than ever before. The correlation between Michael King and Xander Bogaerts is, guess what? They've been in the pressure cooker already. Michael King played for the Yankees. Xander Bogaerts played for the Red Sox. They've been in the pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Where there's actually expectations. You know, Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis, at least in their Padre career, they're like, oh, these fans just love us anyway because they're just happy that we're here. Orioles. Yeah. Right. So.
But I think that this is a new reality for Padres fans. If the team's going to be spending near, you know, the tax threshold, the expectations from the fan base is going to be that of where we will boo you if you're down 1-0 against the Rockies.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Because the support for this team has been literally off the charts. It's been record-breaking. The fan support of this team has been record-breaking. You can boo.
Yeah,
all
feel
you
free.
Can yeah, do all it, you man. Can do is show up and pay
They've
what they ask.
Season ticket prices for the past 3 seasons.
And
on
they're
you
still
guys.
Setting attendance records.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
boo.
They've got like boo. The number 2 attendance in all of baseball. I want to say behind the Dodgers, who have a stadium that seats
much bigger.
Right. They've got 10,000 more seats. And they've got 8 million more people that live in LA. So listen. Hey, if you don't, I'll go back to what Xander Bogaerts said. If you don't want to be booed, play better. If you don't want to be booed, stop swinging at the first pitch and hitting into double plays 3 straight times. And then, by the way, you know what? Hey, I didn't hit into a double play again. No, you struck out 3 times. Manny Machado, his performance thus far, I mean, put it this way. Let me ask you this. Jurickson Profar is making $1 million. And Manny Machado's making $30-plus million, and put those two side by side and see what they're doing so far. Now, look, we may have a different story at the end of the season, but right now, you should not be losing games at home to Colorado, because at the end of the year, when you're sitting there and you're on your couch and you're whomping your Johnson, you're going to be like,
What
the hell happened? I'll tell you what happened. You got swept at home and then shut out 8-0 by the Colorado Rockies. That's what happened.
I thought
in
you were
May,
say something else.
No. All right, let's
Padres second best attendance at home, right behind the Dodgers, 39,055 average. Only 2 teams in baseball have drawn in over 1 million people so far, and that's the Padres and the Dodgers. Even and this is a fascinating one on the road. The Padres are even drawing. Dodgers obviously number one on the road, 32,500. Padres average 31,700 people on the road as well.
Yeah, because they have become a glamour team of baseball. But guess what? They boo. That's exactly right. Boo these guys. Boo.
Well, here's the manager asked about being booed.
Boo him, definitely.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, I expect to win every series, whether we just got through playing, you know, Bingo Long and the Traveling All-Stars or, you know, whoever we play. And I don't mean to be overly facetious, but, you know, a little levity maybe. But, yeah, I mean, listen, like I said, the sky's not falling in our clubhouse. I can tell you that. I appreciate and understand the questions. I think I've been able to explain and support, and you know, all I know is our clubhouse is in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
Does this look like a guy you would follow somewhere?
I mean, well, let him.
I don't know. We haven't even done a full season. Hell, we haven't done a half of a season. So I'm just asking a question because again, I'm not in that clubhouse. A lot of these reporters are. So fans who are observing this level of speech, maybe this is a bad angle from him to be speaking from, but does that look like the man? Is that the demeanor of someone who you think what you would follow as a observer, not on the roster, as an observer?
Right. In that soundbite that we just played, for those of you that are watching the video, you see him slouching down. He's away from the microphone. I didn't understand what he said about somebody's traveling banjo team before he said he was trying to add a little bit of levity. He says the sky is not falling in their clubhouse. Why would it be falling? You've won 4 straight series. You beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3, but being swept at home and being shut out in game 3 by the Rockies really is a bad look. And the thing is that this is the second time this year that you've beaten the Dodgers in a series. And rather than capitalize in the next series, you've kind of fallen flat. Now I'm trying to remember, I think when they beat the Dodgers, did they go play Milwaukee? I'll have to go back and look at it. But the point is that they're not capitalizing. You know, when they beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3 earlier this season, they were maybe a game or two behind the Dodgers. The Dodgers go on these 6 and 7 game winning streaks. Padres, they win 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers, and then they like take their foot off the gas.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, what else should we hear from the skip?
Here is him kind of taken offense by the being told that the Padres were outplayed.
Oh.
How do you keep it, Mike, from going from being outplayed for 3 days to it becoming 4 and so on?
Well, again, I'm going to take exception with the word outplayed. We lost 3 games. And I'm going to repeat it because I think it clearly needs to be repeated. Look, I'm not defending the fact we lost 3 games. I'm not even alibiing that for a second. I own that. I'll take the responsibility if you want. But I can sit here and it's a different answer to your questions of the game of baseball. We lost three games, and then we lost three games by beating ourselves and getting outplayed. Now, they played very well, okay? They did. But you look at some of the things that determine how you play and whether you beat yourself, the things that I've been following this thing for 30 years, it just didn't work out for us for 3 days. I can't explain that.
Okay, but when you lose three games, when you lose three straight games at home to a team that's like 13-25 or something, whatever Colorado was or is, how come you just can't admit that is called being outplayed?
Why is it so offensive?
Right. What's so offensive about it?
The first game, I think it was 13 walks.
13 walks. Maybe 14 walks, yeah.
You can't win that game?
And that was the game where they loaded the bases in the eighth and the ninth, right? Yeah.
It was 11 walks. Yeah.
11 walks, whatever.
Yeah.
Walks. The first walks. They outplayed you, man. Just see, and this is the part about, and this is when I go back to what he said yesterday. Coach speak. Coach speak. You got a lot of coach speak in you. Use some of that, man. Use some of that. Because this isn't what he's good at. Okay, I'm starting to, I can get this now. He's not good at this part of it. Because if you don't tell me that you didn't get out, that the scoreboard tells you you got outplayed. That little paper you held up.
Well, Browner, you know what he's doing, right?
Well, yeah, of course.
I told you in the first segment. Like, the thing that Mike Schilt has that a lot of first-year managers don't have on a new team, not in general, just on a new team, is that he was in the clubhouse last year. He saw what wasn't working firsthand. He saw what these players responded to, did not respond to, firsthand by Bob Melvin. And you were on the show trashing the hell out of Bob Melvin for the whole time. So it's like, he saw that. Now what he's going to do, whether right or wrong, that's up for discussion. But what he's going to do is be opposite of Bob Melvin.
Right.
Because Bob Melvin be positive. Said,
right.
I'm going to be the team guy.
They
I'm
had to no
have
fight.
Their back.
Right.
We fight. We're in every at bat. I like what we're doing. That's what he's decided to do.
All right. Say this because I got to make sure that we hype up.
I have one more too.
All right. Because I got to hype up our boys at Prize Picks because I'm about to win some money here.
Let me say this. You're right. I did bash Bob Melvin. Okay. But at least he was honest about it. What I'm saying is, If you are saying they didn't outplay you, and they clearly did outplay you, you're lying to the public.
Well,
so whether you're covering for the players who got outplayed, if you can't come out and say that, hey, we got outplayed in three games, it happens. As Manny says, it's baseball. Then you got some soft players in there.
AC, I'll give AC credit, man. AC is under everybody's skin down there. They always answer something nasty when AC, so I like that. Good job, Kev. All right, one more, and then let me talk about Prize Picks. Go ahead.
Don't worry, guys. They're a better team right now than they were 2 weeks ago.
I don't think I know we're a better version of our club in general over as we've gotten. We've gotten better. All right, so if that was the case and I looked at our two-week trends and saw that we weren't improving in some of the base running and offensive categories relative to some of the areas, then, yeah, I'd say we need to be more consistent. But I'm a big-picture guy, and I do recognize that the last three games we came up short. But the fact of the matter is we got behind and couldn't scratch and claw.
Look, he's just he is AJ.
Browner.
He is AJ. Oh, look the glasses.
Oh,
Metrics.
The trends. The trends.
If AJ Preller had press conferences every day, that's what you'd be hearing,
right.
My dog.
Well, that's
your boy. That's your boy, Browner.
That's it.
That's your boy right there.
All right, let me do this. Give me 1 second.
Numbers only work against the teams you're going against. Don't give me this.
All right. Well, speaking of numbers, let me talk about Prize Picks for a second here. I want everybody who's listening and everybody who's watching to make sure that if you haven't by now, you download the Prize Picks app and you use our code Great Friends. Why? They will match your first deposit 100% up to $100. And the game is so easy. Look, I took Caitlin Clark 2 days ago for more than half a point. It was a gift. They gave that one to us, okay? But then I took today Luke Littler, the 17-year-old international dart-throwing phenom, and I took him to throw for more than three 180s. Now, the game is easy. Again, you can take two players, you add to their projections, you submit your lineup, and you are ready to go, and you're ready to win. Earlier this week, I went one basketball guy who had to have more than 9.5 rebounds. He did. I had Tatis to have more than 1.5 bases. He had 2. I had Bogarts to have more than half a strikeout. He accommodated, no problem. And I'm trying to remember, I had Dylan Cease to have more than 6.5 strikeouts, no problem. I took four players, and I put $20 on that four, that power bet, if you will, or that power play, and it paid 6 times. So $20 turned into $120. Okay. My play today, $20 going to turn into $60. So listen, download the Prize Picks app, use our code Great Friends. Let's all play together. Let's all win together, and make sure when you're done and you've downloaded and you've started to play, tweet me your Prize Picks. I will play your picks. I appreciate you guys sending them when you do. And we got to build a card because we've been pretty hot lately. So everybody stick around. We got a lot more to get to. As a matter of fact, coming up next, let's go into the NFL schedule. Eric Williams from Fox Sports will be here. Let's talk NFL schedule next on Kaplan. Hey, great friends, calling a little halftime update here. So AG1, yesterday I'm here playing LA Cap, and I'm in the kitchen here at the 710 Studios. And one of my colleagues comes up to me and says, what is AG1? I've seen all the TV commercials. I've heard about them in podcasts. What is it? And I said, it's everything that we need for our bodies in a day that we don't get from our food. Okay. It's the 75 vitamins, minerals, nutrients, superfoods, and probiotics that we should all be getting in our food. But most of us don't eat that great. You know what? They don't have all that shit in vitamins in pizza. They got it in vitamins right here. And I don't have to take 12 pills. All I got to do is take 12 ounces of water. All right. Take one, what I like to use, the travel packs, one little drop of vitamin D. You get it for free. The vitamin D you get for free, and the 5 travel packs you get for free. Then once you get them, you're never going to want to travel without them. And then you take your AG1 every day. It'll cost you less than a cup of coffee, and it's going to be a whole lot better for you. Cheers to your health. Make sure you get a subscription. AthleticGreens.com/Kaplan. Use the QR code. AthleticGreens.com/Kaplan. Cheers. Hey, great friends. What's happening on a Thursday afternoon? Kaplan and crew with Grande and the Brown Man. And as always, we come to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. Now, we've talked a lot so far today about the Padres being swept and then shut out at home by the Rockies before this road trip to Atlanta. Got to make a turn here, because last night the NFL does what it does so well, which is they create a big production out of something that could be very simple. But you know what? Why not have fun with it? Why not turn it into a television production? Why not cover it? Why not have every team release social media videos? Why not have the whole world in the middle of the NBA playoffs and the start of the baseball season? Why not have everybody talking about football? And I love the schedule release yesterday. So here to discuss the Rams, the Chargers, the Raiders, maybe a look at the Niners. We'll look at the AFC West and the NFC West for sure. Eric Williams from Fox Sports returns to Kaplan and crew. Eric, good afternoon. How are you?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing? I'm doing great. And thanks again for having me.
Yeah. What were you doing yesterday? Were you monitoring? Were you following? How did you take in the schedule release?
Yeah, I think like everybody else, you're kind of monitoring and waiting for them to release the schedule. And you're looking at the leaks and wondering if they're accurate or not. And, you know, you get excited about some of the big games that were announced, you know, obviously. With me covering the NFC West, Jets at Niners, you know, piqued my interest in terms of, you know, opening the season, you know, with Aaron Rodgers going back to California. So you're looking for some of the big games. You're looking to see, you know, who has to travel the most, and just kind of how that schedule is going to play out for each team that you cover.
You know, you just mentioned traveling the most. One of the things that stood out to me yesterday with the Rams schedule was a game that they have later in the season, December 8th, against Buffalo. And the reason it stood out to me is because Buffalo, you expect to be a team that's going to compete in the AFC. And so if the Rams have to play against a team of that quality, better to do it in December at home rather than have to go on the road. But then 2 weeks later, they still do have to go on the road, the Rams, to take on the Jets. That's December 22nd. So the NFC West against the AFC East is that's interesting. All the travel that the teams from both sides of the country will have to do this year.
And you mentioned the late season games. You know, obviously there could be some weather if you're going to Buffalo and New York at that time of the year. So you're, you know, wondering how our teams like the Rams going to deal with the, you know, that weather element. But, you know, that said, we don't know who's going to be available in those games
right,
either.
Right.
You know, is Josh Allen going to be playing? Aaron Rodgers, is he going to be playing? I mean, so those are things that kind of go into it too when you consider those late season games against teams that you think are going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about the NFL schedule is that there's like this strength of schedule. And it's like, how many of those 32 teams last year look the same this year? You know what I mean? It means absolutely nothing. There's always the Texans were terrible. They're a playoff team this year. Now everybody's projecting to be a playoff team this year. Like, so it's like, you never know. You never know.
Yeah, you're right, Alex. It just kind of gives us something to talk about going into the year based on how those teams played last year. But you're right. You don't know for the season. You don't know week to week how a team's going to be, again, based on whether their teams are their frontline players are available or not. You know, the three-game losing streak that the Niners had, they didn't have Trent Williams or Debo. They're much different teams if they don't have those two guys because they're such an integral part of what they do on offense. So, strength of schedule doesn't, to me, play a large part, like you said, in what's going to happen during the year.
This is the exercise we do once a year. That God, I'm over it. I'm over it, man. That's okay. The schedule's out. That's great. Cool.
Talking like awesome. A true Steelers fan with no faith.
Thanks, NFL. You did it. You accomplished the unbelievable. You put the schedule out on time. At least now I know where I'm going when I'm going there.
No.
Outside of that, man, what this does is it allows people to sit and predict the schedule. Oh, they'll go 11 wins, 10 wins. Every team thinks they're a playoff team with the exception of the Panthers and their fans. They know they suck. They know they're not going to be good. So they not really got their hopes up. They just want to get the number one pick again, and this time they'll own it. Outside of that, Washington's like, oh, well, we can win this game. Y'all going to suck too. Like, there are a lot of teams that are going to suck. And some of y'all going to suck. Y'all don't even know y'all going to suck, like the Cowboys. Like, there are a lot of teams out there. They're going to stink. And they don't think they're going to stink because they're looking at the schedule and going, well, that team stinks. We're better than them. Like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Like,
what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you, man?
Thanks for coming on and talk about the schedule, Eric. We'll talk to you later, dude.
Okay, like I have a different perspective. Okay, I have a different perspective. I'll give it to you. You ready?
I love Eric. Eric, no, I love Eric. Don't do that.
No, but hold on. But I like the schedule release. I'm not bitter about the schedule release like you are for some reason. Listen, I look at the Rams. I'll use them as an example. They've got 5 primetime games. So the Rams last year surprised a lot of people, and they were much better than people thought. They got 5 primetime games. They'll start the season against the Lions. Awesome. I mean, we loved the Stafford-Goff battle last year in the playoffs. Awesome. So they've got the Lions for the first game. And by the way, I love it that it's at Detroit again. They've got Alex's Minnesota Vikings on a Thursday night. They've got the Dolphins on a Monday night. They've got the Eagles on a Sunday night. And they've got the 49ers late in the season on a Thursday night. The Rams are a team that, you know, for the last couple of years, people didn't have high expectations out of the Super Bowl. And now all of a sudden, the Rams are one of like America's glamour teams again. What did you think about all those primetime games for the Rams?
Yeah, I definitely think the number of primetime games tells you what the league thinks about your team. You know, the Rams have 5. I think the Niners had a league high 6 or tied with a couple teams with 6. Cardinals have 1. So that lets you know what the league thinks about the Cardinals.
Like 5, don't they?
6.
Yeah. Jets have Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, that's part of that in terms of getting the primetime games and who the networks want to show. But you're right. I think there are different expectations for the Rams heading into this season based on how they played last year and the fact that a lot of those guys are coming back. You know, they shored up the offensive line. They're hopeful that Matthew Stafford can stay healthy. And they have playmakers, you know, around Stafford to help it easier. When you consider Puka coming back, Cooper Kupp, you know, believes that he's going to be healthy, Kyron Williams. But, you know, there's a big hole in that defense in Aaron Donald. I mean, that's kind of really what we're talking about when we talk about, you know, holes in terms of the roster for the Rams. And then, you know, they have a new defense coordinator, Chris Shula. So what is that transition going to be like defensively? Because we feel like offensively the Rams are going to be able to score.
Yeah, and when you talk about teams that have six primetime games, Alex, and put this up on the screen for us, take a look at this. The Niners have six, the Jets have six, the Cowboys have six, and then the next level down that the league thinks these are the teams that people want to see on national television, the Lions, the Packers, the Chiefs, obviously, the Bills, the Bengals, assuming Joe Burrow is going to be healthy, the Rams, the Dolphins, the Ravens, and the Eagles. So those right there, those 12 teams, did I get that right? Those 12 teams combine for 11 primetime games. Point being that that's who the league thinks will be the best teams this year.
And I think there's only five NFC teams on that list. So it leans a little bit towards the AFC, which makes sense because they have the better quarterbacks in that conference right now.
Yeah.
What do you think about the other?
If Aaron Rodgers isn't healthy, man, boy, the Jets are going to bore the hell out of us this year.
Although the beautiful thing is that they flex a lot earlier now, too. So we'll get them. We'll get rid of them quick. But on the other side, what do you think about the Chargers? Because I think they only got, what, three primetime? I thought that was surprising, not because of the team, but because of the coach.
Yeah, I agree. I thought they were going to have more because of Jim Harbaugh coming back. I mean, Jim Harbaugh, I believe in his first season with the Niners, was 13-3 out the gate. So he got that team going in a hurry. I think they face, you have it there, the Raiders in week one at SoFi Stadium. I think I'll probably will be trying to catch that game to open the year just to see what the reaction is going to be like and how that team is going to perform. But certainly thought that they would have more primetime games. But, you know, again, there's an opportunity perhaps for them to flex a Chargers game late in the year.
I don't know where the Chargers – go ahead, Browner. Go ahead.
You asked your Charger question because my question is not related to
the
Coast.
I don't know where the Chargers rank in terms of strength of schedule or weakness of schedule, but week one...
They're at the bottom, no?
For week one, for the Chargers to have the Raiders in SoFi Stadium. So for Jim Harbaugh's debut, the Raider fans are going to take that place over. Alex, if you put that back up on the screen for 1 second, the Chargers have 1, 2, 3, 4... They have the fifth easiest schedule according to winning percentages from the year before. So the average of the opponents is under 500. Whereas the toughest schedule in the league is Cleveland. Their average from last year opponents 547, then Baltimore, then Pittsburgh, then Houston down the line. But I look at the Chargers schedule, Raiders week one. I see the Steelers on the schedule week three, the Chiefs twice, obviously the Broncos twice. I'm not that they're going to be anything great. But I guess when you look around and you think, you know, New England, Denver's probably not expected to be very much. I'm not sure New Orleans is expected to be much. Carolina's on the schedule. I mean, this schedule looks very manageable for the Chargers.
Oh, I think there's 10 wins there. You know, if they handle
that, Browner, a prediction.
I already predicted them to go to the AFC Championship game, so I'm bullish on what the Chargers can do this year. I don't, the whole charging thing, maybe that's a thing in the past now with an adult leading them in terms of the head coach and being able to manage late game situations like they haven't been able to do in years past. I think Harbaugh is one of the best coaches at, you know, what Bill Belichick does, which is make the other team beat you and make as little mistakes as possible and just play good, solid, fundamental football. And so maybe that will lead to better closing out of games for the Chargers, which would help them get the 10 wins.
Hey, by the way, week 12, Baltimore, Monday Night Football, the Battle of the Harbaughs, week 12, it's in SoFi. And it's Jim Harbaugh versus John Harbaugh, the battle of the Super Bowl, you know, the rematch of the Super Bowl as Jim Harbaugh comes back to the NFL. And John Harbaugh has a team that was in the AFC Championship game a year ago. Eric Williams from Fox Sports is with us here on Kaplan and Crew. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios. Browner, pick it up.
Eric, I agree with you. I already said the Chargers were going to the Super Bowl. This is before I saw any schedule. As soon as they hired the man, I said, we lit, baby. Let's go. Where did I get my tickets? But that's not my question. My question is this. The Lions did not learn from the Cowboys problem and I think who else was there before that? If you pay a medium level quarterback, high level superstar Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen money, you have no way to pay these other guys who helped this guy shine at that level. How much of a fall off do you think Detroit is headed for because they've committed so much of their cap to three players?
It's a great question, Browner. I mean, obviously, okay. I watched Jared Goff up close when he was with the Rams. I would tend to agree with you. You know, I think the contract is probably a little north of what I believe Jared's true value is. It, you know, the franchise is in a tough situation, though. If you don't pay Jared, who do you have behind him that can come in and give you similar production? I mean, do you move off of him and draft a guy, or do you try to sign somebody like Geno Smith, like in Seattle, like they did in free agency a couple of years ago? You know, Jared's a good quarterback, and I still think they're going to be able to win games this year. I think you're right, though. It's beyond 2024 when you have to continue to pay him, you know, amongst the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. How do you continue to add pieces? Because, you know, Jared is great if everything's clean, but if there's pass rush or he has to move, he's not that dude. He's not going to make it happen for you. So he's limited.
Limited, yes. He is not.
And he's about to be the old man in the division when it's Vikings make their quarterback change.
Yeah, but the funny thing about contracts with the NFL and quarterbacks, though, is if you look at the top 10, how many of those guys that are paid as top 10 are actually top 10 quarterbacks in the league? It just doesn't line up.
No, you're right. I mean, Brock Purdy's making less than $1 million, and I would say he's probably amongst the top 10 quarterbacks in the league right now. He certainly was in the MVP conversation last year. So guys that are playing at that level aren't necessarily, like you said, being paid at that level, while other guys are being paid, you know, Daniel Jones, you know, oof. Kirk Cousins.
Deshaun Watson. Oof.
Deshaun Watson is a great example of that.
You guys have more than 50 years of experience at covering the NFL. For the life of me, all these rich men who run the sport, they haven't figured out yet, we got to fix this quarterback pay scale situation. Because if this was their actual other version of how they make their money, this would have been fixed a long time ago. I don't understand how this scale is rewarding mid-level guys at the ownership. The owners who fix everything that costs them money won't fix this.
I just cannot believe that you are like so caught up on Jared Goff as a mid-level guy. Jared Goff, you know.
Oh, I had stats Jared for Goff. You. I had stats for you, and I'll bring them up because I know I won't use Justin Herbert's last year because he was hurt. I will because you kept bringing stats because he kept saying
on this show go tell you that Jared Goff is better than Justin Herbert. Nobody.
What are you so angry about? I thought you stopped yelling.
Until today.
Until today. All right, here you go.
It's a schedule release. I
bring it out of Browner. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right,
here you go. 2022. This is the last time they were both healthy, both whatever, right? Justin Herbert. Where is it at? 4,739 yards, 25 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Great. Awesome. Jared Goff, 4,500 yards, 29 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Right.
Records so, the same.
Who are you picking?
Right. Well, so you ask that question, who are you picking, like it's obvious. It is not obvious for me at all. I mean, because here's the thing. Justin Herbert came into the league, lit the world on fire, hasn't won jack squat, went to one playoff game and blew it. Had a 27-0 lead and blew it. So on the other hand, Jared Goff has been building. He didn't come into the league and light the world on fire. Okay. It took him time. He changed coaches after his first year. Then and by the way, he led a team to a Super Bowl. Then Sean McVay decided, I can't win with him. I got to go in another direction. Huh. And most people thought that's kind of the end of Jared Goff. But you know what? Jared Goff went to Detroit, a traditionally horrendous team, and he had them in the NFC Championship game last year. So honestly, to answer your question right now, player for player, Jared Goff is better than Justin Herbert.
Somewhere,
please write that down. And here, he ain't won nothing either.
Right, because Eric's a rational person and he doesn't operate and first take arguments the way you do. Who you taking? How about this? Can we take into account situations of where quarterbacks are and what quarterback fits where? Like, because it's not just we don't look at a sheet and be like, better. You look at a situation. And who works well with Dan Campbell? Jared Goff. Does Justin Herbert? We don't know what he's going to be with Jim Harbaugh yet. Genuinely, we don't know what Jim and Justin Herbert ain't going anywhere for the next 5 years. So, to answer your question, Browner, who are you taking? if I'm playing fantasy football, I might take Justin Herbert. But we're playing real life out there, dude.
Well, no, I would look at it this way. Justin Herbert is much younger than Jared, so the upside is there. If Justin had played for Sean McVay, what would his numbers be? I mean, let's be real. Like, he would be in a totally different stratosphere in terms of his production and his team success. So coaching does matter in terms of where you land. We know that. Patrick Mahomes, if he had played for a different team, would still be successful. But I don't know if he would be at the level that he's at right now because he's playing for Andy Reid. So in my opinion, I believe, you know, the numbers notwithstanding, you know, which is, you know, interesting to hear them side by side. Justin Herbert has more talent, and I expect him to have more success now that he has one of the better coaches in the NFL. In terms of what Browner brought up, the salary and the quarterbacks making, you know, a lot of money, the owners don't care about that because the salaries are capped. Everybody has a salary cap. If you want to pay your quarterback that much percentage of the salary, I mean, that's up to the individual coach or GM and the owner. They have control though over how much you're going to be paying the entire roster, and they're still getting their bag. I mean, in terms of the TV money and everything else, so they're making their money. But you know, in terms of how much the quarterbacks are going to make, that's really up to the players and the CBA.
So here's a stat for you guys, because none of this matters there's only one quarterback that's winning, right? Of the top 10 highest paid quarterbacks entering 2024, if you remove Patrick Mahomes, zero Super Bowl rings.
How about that?
There you go. And you know what the records are in Super Bowl? 0-3 for the rest of them.
Yeah.
So you got Jalen Hurts 0-1, Jared Goff 0-1, that's not Super Bowl. He didn't. Yeah, he did. He lost the Rams Super Bowl.
He sure did.
And Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Listen, it's interesting. It's a great conversation to have. I'll always push back on Jared Goff not being an upper echelon quarterback because, listen, Matthew Stafford left the Lions, went to the Rams, won a Super Bowl. He didn't do anything in Detroit. I mean, other than put up, you know, Hall of Fame type numbers, he didn't win. Mm-hmm. You know, Jared Goff goes to Detroit, different coach, different attitude, and Jared Goff is a winner. And When you say he hasn't won, I have a question for you. What has Justin Herbert won? So no, you're making this argument that he's so much better, but what does he want? Eric, final thought to you, because we got to hustle here. We're running out of time, yeah. Which I always love to do with Browner.
Again, I think it's fair to point out that Jared has won both with the Rams and the Lions, and he's a resilient quarterback, but he's not the better quarterback. And we can argue that till the cows come home. There's a reason Sean McVay chose to move on from Jared. And it's because Matthew Stafford gave him a better chance to win a Super Bowl and then went out and proved.
Yep. Hey, listen, that's why I would push back on what Justin Herbert might have been under Sean McVay, because Sean McVay, he doesn't want a young quarterback out there doing his thing. He wants control. He trusted a veteran quarterback in Matthew Stafford as he grew as a coach. Either way, Eric, great visit. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again real soon. Everybody stick around. We got lots more to get to from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. This is Kaplan and Crew. Hey, great friends. It's Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. And yes, as always, we are in the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. Browner, I got to tell you something, man. Eric Williams was just with us. We're talking about the schedule release in the NFL. I don't know what happened to you, man, but you started yelling at us. And I thought your whole thing was you don't yell at us anymore. And you're so upset about the schedule release. You're so upset about Jared Goff versus Justin Herbert that you're yelling at us? Come on, man. What's the deal?
Straight up yelled at us, dude.
Yell at us. Your children.
I was going to say, like, I haven't been yelled at that in a long time, dude.
Yeah. Like, get off that couch. Yeah. Get out that refrigerator.
It was not the yell. That was the yell of disbelief. I couldn't believe you, sir. You have this thing for Jared Goff. I don't understand it. I don't see it. To me, he hasn't won anything. You keep telling me Justin Herbert hasn't won anything.
You keep saying he hasn't
won
anything.
They both not won anything.
No. But
nobody in the league has won anything.
But Brown.
Except Patrick Mahomes.
Can I ask you a question? Let me rephrase it, okay?
Okay.
Who has had a better career thus far, Jared Goff or Justin Herbert?
to me. You're asking me. Yeah. I'm telling you, Justin Herbert had,
okay, let me give you my
better career.
Let me tell you why I think Jared Goff's had a better career. He's played in a Super Bowl, and he's been in an NFC Championship game. You tell me. Statistic for statistic, they're kind of the same. I mean, they pass for 4,500 yards. They pass for 25 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I mean, statistically, they're right here. They're okay. They're comparable. But when you say that nobody's won anything, Jared Goff has been in a Super Bowl as a young quarterback with a very young coach against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, number one. And number two, Jared Goff has been in an NFC Championship game with the lowly Detroit Lions, which, by the way, Matthew Stafford had to leave them to go to L.A. to ultimately win. So all I'm saying to you is this. The only playoff game that Justin Herbert has been in his career so far as a four-year starter is a game in Jacksonville where he had a 27-0 lead, and the Chargers, not him, the Chargers blew the lead, lost the game. It's a team game. But what I'm saying is that when you really look at their careers, yes, everybody thinks Justin Herbert's the better player. He came into the league. He lit the league on fire. People think Jared Goff is a big dummy because of what he said at one point 10 years ago on Hard Knocks. And people think he's no good because Sean McVay cast him off. But when you get cast off to Detroit and you lead the Detroit Lions to an NFC Championship game, that tells you, he's pretty darn good, even though he's underestimated.
I would argue this, and I'll leave it at this. I'll put my bag down after this. Circumstances matter. We have, you more than anyone here, has more insight on what it's like to play for the San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers, however you want to deem them, or just call them the Chargers. He played because a doctor punctured someone's lung. The level of dysfunction that has been there since he got there, and for him to still statistically be on the trajectory that he's on, for the team to have had the monocle of success that they've had with him at quarterback, Jared Goff couldn't have done that.
How do you know?
Okay. The level of support that Jared Goff had in Los Angeles, whether it be financial or whether it be the wizard kid coach who, you know, everybody loves, if you touched Sean McVay at one point, you got a head coaching job in this league. That guy said, no, I'm good on you. You're not good enough. I'm moving on. He was fortunate enough to land with Dan Campbell, who people thought was a clown, who has rebounded and have the Lions moving in the right direction. So to, if you...
I have a question for Justin, you. Are the Detroit Lions not traditionally as dysfunctional of an organization as the Chargers?
Absolutely, yes.
So he Jared Goff went to a dysfunctional organization with a new head coach who at the beginning was considered a laughingstock,
yes,
and has elevated and has been part of the elevation of that franchise. Listen, right. I just think that it's, you're making it seem, and this is where I push back, that it's an easy no-brainer. Jared Goff is a middle of the road guy, and yes, Justin Herbert is an upper echelon guy. I just don't see it that way.
Dak Prescott
is who better than Dak Prescott?
Jared Goff.
Yeah. Yeah. He is. He's better than Dak Prescott.
Okay. That's the same guy to me.
Is he not? Oh, he's the same guy? Let me ask you this. Is Kirk Cousins better than Dak Prescott?
Same guy. One guy's black, one guy's white. Same guy to me.
Is Kirk Cousins better than Justin Herbert?
No.
They're not the same guy?
No.
I bet you if we looked at their statistics, they're probably the same guy.
Nobody did better than Kirk Cousins at the bank.
Well, that may be true. Now, Alex, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you said that every time you go to a Minnesota Vikings game in your life, they've lost the game.
Yes.
Are they 0-5 in your career as a fan?
Yes.
You've been to five Vikings games, and they've lost all five.
I've seen them. Yeah. Yeah. 0-5.
All five?
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time you came to a Seattle game. I was doing a Seattle Seahawks.
3 effing points that day.
Yeah. Okay. I remember getting you tickets for that game.
This is also word of advice to you football fans. If you're going to travel to watch your football team, never make the game the main part of your trip, because there's a chance you could leave there pissed off.
Right. Well, that's why these international games are fun.
I did a Pacific Northwest tour. Mm-hmm. I was in Portland for 3 days, drove up to Seattle, was in Seattle for 3 days. So the Vikings thing's a little blip on my trip. That's all.
Okay. Anyway. So why then, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Why then, if your team is 0-5 and you're present for your team's playing, And you said yesterday, you're not going to go to any of these games. Cause I'm trying to remember there was a Vikings game that London. I was like, hey, in London. Right. And you're like, no, I'm not going to that because they always lose every time I go.
Correct.
Why is it yesterday you pulled an early season? Hey King, you hey kinged me.
Correct.
Hey,
very
King.
Easy answer. Go on.
Hey, King. Yes. The Vikings are playing the Rams in SoFi Stadium, and you didn't just say, "Hey, I need some ticks." You were like, "Yo, I got to get on the field. I need some field passes." Talk.
Yeah,
to me.
If I'm gonna hey King, if I'm gonna hey King you, I'm not, what I want to sit where Van Pelt puts you. No, I want to sit. I want to sit. Ooh, I want to be low.
That hurt.
You know what I mean?
Shot fired.
That hurt. Right. I mean, Van Pelt had me on the field last year.
Wow.
That's where I want to be.
Okay. All right. Well.
The reason, so to answer your question, it's very simple. In order for me to go to London, that's thousands of dollars. And I'm not doing that for any team, like any Viking thing ever.
Oh.
A Hey King thing is, that's free. Oh. That's an hour and a half drive. And I'm right back home. That's a 2 hour, it's probably like a 3 hour drive. Let's be real. But
yeah, once you get to the parking lot, you got a good hour to sit there and wait.
Right. So that's all. If I'll tell you this, though. I ain't paying money to go watch the Vikings at the Rams.
Okay.
I've also never stepped foot inside SoFi yet, believe it or not. So.
Yeah, I do believe it. All right, I'm gonna say that game right there, the Vikings and the Rams, what's the date on that game?
Thursday, October.
Yeah, that's whatever. A good game for us to go to. Yeah. I'll tell you another thing. I want to go see the Rams at the Patriots, which I believe is in like November. I want to say November 17th. Is that game. So I figure that's the kind of game I want to go to because I want to be down there, see the Rams. I mean, see the Patriots. I don't know what the season's going to be like for the Patriots by then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm looking at some games this year. Like, I'll tell you what, a game I'm interested in is the last game of the season in Vegas. I like the way the Raiders and the Chargers open and the Raiders and the Chargers close against each other. So what I love about it is that the Raider fans will come to L.A. and Jim Harbaugh's debut, he'll run out on that field and the Raider fans will boo the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Raider fans will get another shot because the Raiders play the Rams in SoFi and the Raiders and the Rams have to deal with the 49ers in SoFi. So, at some point, fan bases grow up. And they stop selling off their tickets to the rivals so that they can't take over their stadium. But I would certainly expect Niner fans and Raider fans to take over Rams games. And I know Raider fans are easily taking over that home opener for the Chargers. Easily. But I'll tell you what, you talk about thousands of dollars to go see your team play in London. Mm-hmm. Have you guys thought about what it would cost this year if you were going to buy NFL football games across all the different platforms? Because way back when, CBS, Fox, ESPN, again, way back when,
NBC.
ABC, NBC, like all the networks had NFL football. Now that the streaming services have gotten involved in football, you got to pay for everything now. Like, for example, on Christmas Day, Netflix has the two games on Christmas Day. The next day, Friday, Amazon Prime has the games. So last year I kept thinking to myself, well, I'm not paying for all this, okay? And I was going to a sports bar every weekend. And every weekend you go to a sports bar, you're spending $100, $120, whatever it is, because you're sitting there for hours. And I finally got to the end of the season. I'm like, why didn't I just buy the packages? But if you start to look at YouTube and ESPN and Peacock and Prime and Netflix and all these things, dude, you start adding it up, you're going to spend $1,000 to watch the NFL this year.
Yep. And plus, that's the cheap Netflix account because that Netflix don't cost no $6.99 no more.
At all. I don't know what kind of Netflix you got.
That's the one where you get the DVD. Are you going to get the NFL on a DVD a week later?
I mean, so you got to have so YouTube TV and the Sunday ticket. YouTube TV is $72.99. What is that? Is that for a month?
Yeah, it's per month. This is broken down per month times 6 months.
Okay, so if you have YouTube TV at $73 and ESPN Plus at $11 and Peacock at $6 and Prime at $9 and Netflix at $7 and you multiply all of that by 6 months and you throw in the Sunday ticket, you're going to spend $986 to get all your NFL football games. Or you're just going to get shamed into being called a red zone viewer.
Because you got to pay for red zone, though.
Ain't nobody, you didn't even put that up there. Ain't nobody shaming nobody into that. It's just an observation of the way some people intake the game. Either you respect it or you don't. My brand don't respect that. Don't try to throw that out there like, subliminal shot me. I own that, sir. Two, That's why it's better to go to a bar where your team is playing on the screen somewhere, like a team bar. Because if you're going to spend that money anyway, you might as well be around some fans that's going to be happy that you won or miserable that you lost. That's a far better way to go, to me, in my opinion. Because paying for the Sunday ticket, that's too much, bro. That's too much. Almost $400 now? That's too much. That's too much. I can't do it. But I already have that. I got the good Netflix. I got the good Amazon Prime.
My wife's a student again, so I get to that student discount. But good I have a great idea. So you have all these, because did you hear like Peacock's going to bundle with some other thing, and then they're going to like Netflix and Peacock. It's all going to start bundling, and they're going to charge a cheaper price.
Disney's got like three things in there.
Did you hear about Disney and Warner teaming up? So Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max are all going to be on a bundle. So you can have like, instead of having all individual apps, you get to have a bundle app. I have a great idea, and let me know what you guys think, okay? Let's put all the streaming services, all of them,
okay,
on one platform, and then we just all pay a little bit more, but it's all on one platform. You know, you could even call it cable, and like you can hear me out. You ready?
Just listen.
You ready?
I think you own this. You're cooking right now.
Okay. All right. Here. Check this out. You ready? I know this is crazy, dude. So instead of like opening your PlayStation and hitting ESPN Plus and then or going on your Apple TV and then hitting Disney Plus, and then you have to like close that one, go to Max. How about this? You ready? You open one app, right? And then you can scroll through every different stream. And then you can just like go down, 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 or up or down, up or down. And you're like, oh, Disney Plus. Boom, click on that. Oh, keep scrolling down. Ooh, Max, click on that. And instead of like having to pay individually, like, I don't know what I have. I just pay for one thing.
Well, don't you see, dude? Everything you just said, this is all our fault. Everybody who wanted to be a cord cutter, because we all were like, oh, we're going to get rid of cable and we're just going to have this platform. And then now everybody's got a platform. You know, I didn't, you guys know, I told you I couldn't get into my Netflix account. If it wasn't for the Tom Brady roast, I would not have worked on my Netflix account. I've been paying for Netflix for a year and haven't seen one thing on Netflix for a year. Seriously, I haven't seen anything on HBO Max. I pay for it every month. I haven't seen anything at least for a year. I'm trying to think of
House what of the else? Dragons coming back.
Okay, well then I'll start watching. Yeah.
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 So the crazy idea that you have, sir, it is crazy. This whole thing called cable, you sound like a visionary right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna tell you this about your idea, sir.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems with your idea is when you pay for everything, what if you don't want all that stuff in there?
Yeah.
Because there was this old archaic system that they used to use where people's main complaint was, I only want this thing, right? I don't want 1,000 channels.
Yeah.
I only want 7.
Scott's 100% right. Like, listen, I was yelling for years, I just want a la carte options. I just want a la carte. I want ESPN. I want TNT. I want this.
But then these carts.
Greedy sons of bitches were just like, well, here's your a la carte for $10 a month. So it's like, all right.
It's a lot of carts now, man.
All right, let's do this.
You can't. The billionaires always win. We know this.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of carts, let me tell you something about carts. If you go to California Holistics, Torrey Holistics, and Oxnard Holistics, you'll save 20% when you spend $75 or more on all your cannabis products. Could be carts, could be flower, could be tinctures, could be gummies, could be liquids. If you need cannabis for sleep, for anxiety, for pain management, for recreation, there are plenty of places where you can buy cannabis products throughout Southern California. But our partners are California, Torrey, and Oxnard Holistics. And we'd appreciate if you guys would be out there and support our people. Now, with that being said,
yeah,
I want to get into this highlight of the day. Yeah, let's do it.
The Harrison Butker one. Did you see what the Chargers did?
Oh man, let's do it. You know, yesterday Browner.
It's time for the highlight of the day, man.
Do you want to get high, man?
I'm just really high.
Sorry, I cut you off, Scott. Sorry.
That's all right. I didn't know how you were going to do this because Browner. For those of you that may have missed yesterday, Browner went off on Harrison Butker, the kicker of the Kansas City Chiefs, who went to his alma mater, Browner's alma mater, Benedictine College. Is it college or university?
College.
In like some small town in Kansas.
Atchison, Kansas.
And then freaking went off on like this right-wing Christian rant about women and in vitro fertilization and abortion and the president being a bad Catholic. I mean, blah, blah, blah. He went on and on and on. And most people didn't even know about it because he's the kicker of the Chiefs. He's not the quarterback of the Chiefs.
And it was a commencement speech for Benedictine College.
Right. So
sorry, anyway. Browner. No disrespect.
Yeah, no disrespect, Browner. All right. So what did the Chargers do?
Disrespect.
So as the Chargers are known for their social media team, they released their schedule release. They did it. You know, they did like anime last year.
I didn't understand.
This year they decided to release their schedule via Sims. Are you familiar with Sims?
No, in fact, I watched the Chargers social media. You know, they get all this hype. Their social media team's the best in the NFL. What would you rather have? The best team that wins Super Bowls or the best social media team? Either way.
Social media.
Okay, I guess so. And they put these videos out, and I didn't understand any of these videos. Like, I was like, okay, I mean, it looks like really well-produced, but I just don't know what it is.
So the Sims is a video game where you could just live life that you can't live in real life, even though you probably can. So, so basically they just released the schedule. There's a lot of like little inner jokes in between every, you know, like they made all Raider fans, they made them clowns or they put them in jail. You know, the typical stuff. They had the Harbaugh's pillow fighting for their, you know, so they had multiple things. But one thing in regards to Harrison Butker, one of his lines was, you know, a woman's real calling in life is to be a housewife or a homemaker. Right. And so what the Chargers did very quickly and abruptly was they put Harrison Butker in the kitchen in their video, making him cook and clean. So when they announced the Chiefs game, which I thought was very funny and very well done. So
very creative.
That is
but this story has transcended sports lines, man, because my wife asked me about it today. And I was like, what are you asking me about? Like, how do you know about this? Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, some football player said that a woman belongs in the kitchen. Like, see? Did you guys talk about this? And I was like, no, Browner did, but we were too busy yelling about the Padres to really get into it.
Plus, we also didn't know how accurate Browner's you know, information was about it.
I nailed it too, by the way. That was higher than my normal 60%, by the way. I pretty much had that story. I pretty much had that story. Bullseye, by the way.
Yeah,
that story.
Scott, I was giving him crap because he brought, when you were gone, when you had to leave, catch a flight to Boise, he brought up this fact that Jason Whitlock interviewed Papa John's and he was just mad in general about it. And I don't know if you caught this, but like he missed the whole meat of the story and didn't even bring it up. It wasn't until I Googled it that I was like, wait, you're not, he just went on this rant about Papa John being on Jason Whitlock for a while. Right. And then I'm like, wait,
fair.
You're not going to get to what you should be getting to.
What and happened?
You get that far.
Papa John called Papa John's racist for putting Shaq as the new spokesman.
Why?
They said it's the most racist thing to replace a white man with a black man.
Who was the white guy?
Papa John.
Papa John. Oh,
so Papa John was replaced by Shaq and that's racist?
Yes.
To him?
He said replacing a white man with a black man is equally as racist as racism can get. Like
where does Jason Whitlock, you know, Jason Whitlock, you guys got to understand something. I know Jason Whitlock, no joke, for probably 20, maybe better part of 30 years. Okay. Cause I used to be on this radio station in Kansas City and I would rip Jason Whitlock and didn't realize he was on after us on the same radio station. but I know Jason well. No, let me rephrase that. I knew Jason well.
There you go.
And I just don't understand what has happened to this guy. Like has his act become like, hey, I'm going to be the black guy that supports Trump and I'm going to be the right wing, like black guy in America and I'm going to make money off that
sports right wing guy.
Right.
It's very, it's a very small niche.
Yeah, I guess.
Candace Owens, the political side.
Well, until my friends over at the Daily Wire fired her because of all of her like anti-Israeli ranting. Mm. You know,
she got smoked, boy. She crossed the wrong wire. She crossed the wrong wire.
Now she got to like, you got to subscribe to her stuff on Twitter to even hear. Anyway, all right, listen, radio listeners, stick around. Podcasters, let's get uncensored in the 7 Mile Casino Studios. All right, everybody getting ready to wrap things up all up in this biatch.
I think I can explain my unusual high energy today.
Sorry, Brenner. Sorry.
Oh.
You started first and I just jumped in. What's up with your energy?
I'm performing tonight. And so I think that is where this extra, this pre-energies come from. I think that's where the yelling came from. Because I don't yell anymore.
No, you gave up yelling. But,
yeah, I gave up. The counter reset.
Yeah.
It's been 0 days since Browner yelled. Exactly.
Yeah, I did. I didn't even get a sign up back here. That's hilarious.
Little chalkboard like Woody Page, dude. How many days since I last yelled?
Where are you performing tonight?
The Comedy Store in La Jolla, Best of San Diego. I got a slot out there tonight. So I'm doing my thing. I think that's where that energy came from.
Nice. What's the deal? What time are you on tonight, you know?
I don't know yet.
What time does the show start?
The show starts at 7.
7? How long you got?
Probably about 10 minutes.
How long you working on anything new? Or are you
going up? All new stuff.
Really? Anything interesting?
Puff Daddy. P. Diddy.
Okay. Okay, good. That's good for you.
Working on that. That's what the biggest piece of the stand-up's gonna be about tonight. And then we'll kind of go from there, play off the rest of that. But I got that. I got a question of how rich do you want to be, which relates to the Puffy thing, and driving a minivan, and what that change has been like in my life.
Any Harrison Butker jokes, or is it too
no nah, it's too new and it takes too much explaining and
attention. Yeah, but it would be good to explain that you went to that school and that this guy said all this stuff. You know, that it is good for you to use that, I think.
It's good. And I try to stay away from sports jokes.
Yeah.
And that's a very sportsy joke that you need to understand. But because his wife knows who this guy is, the crossover of that may be able to work. So I'll see when I get up there. Some of the things you kind of see when you get up there.
But. Hey, I'll tell you guys, I got a lot, and I'm not joking, a lot of positive feedback yesterday on the Drew Bledsoe interview. Nice. And when I say a lot, I mean like from people that I haven't heard from in a really long time, that when I saw their name pop up on my phone, I was like, what? I haven't talked to this guy in ages. And I got a lot of people, you know, I think Drew Bledsoe is a very likable character because instead of like being some bitter guy, you know, he's actually kind of accepted. And he talked about at the end of the interview yesterday that, you know, he's part of that Dynasty miniseries or docuseries on Apple TV. Mm-hmm. He was part of the roast where he took his beatdowns. You know, he had a great, great, great career. He even said when he left the NFL, he was like sixth in passing yards all time. And that was probably behind like Marino, I would have to say maybe Brett Favre. I'm thinking probably maybe Brett Favre. And I'm trying to think of like some of the old school guys that Peyton Manning probably. Point is that Drew Bledsoe will always be known as a great NFL quarterback, but his fame is from without you getting hit and hurt, we may never know who Tom Brady is.
Right.
You know, and that's why like when
Wally
you look
Pipp, at, right? That's the saying.
Yeah, like when you look at certain quarterbacks and you look at Philip Rivers, for example, or thus far Kirk Cousins, for example, you know, when you look at these guys who have huge numbers but never were Super Bowl champions, that's Bledsoe. And by the way, he does have a Super Bowl ring because he was on a Patriots team, but he was the backup. Remember, he won that game in Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game because Brady got hurt. Mm-hmm. And he came in and won the game. And then the following week, the question was, who's the starting quarterback? Bledsoe was like, well, I should get my job back now. I mean, and Belichick was like, no, we won 12 games with Tom Brady. He's our starting quarterback.
It is pretty crazy, though. He brought up a really good point. I went back and I looked like when he retired, he had the fifth most passing yards in the history of the NFL when passing wasn't the game of the NFL.
Right. And for me to bring that up, but I want to.
Now he's 15th, 16th. I remember looking it up yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he not in the Hall of Fame?
Because this is why. Because generally speaking, modern day quarterbacks get into the Hall of Fame when they've won a Super Bowl. This is why Drew Brees is going into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And in my opinion, Philip Rivers is not. And I know that bothers
Drew Bledsoe
Charger fans.
Part of the modern day.
I would say no to that.
I don't think so. Like, if he was majority of the 90s, that's not like
The game's changed so much.
Right, but he's at the end of, like, when you think about, like, Dan Marino and Jim Kelly and that group of quarterbacks, okay? Drew Bledsoe kind of crossed over to the Kelly Marino era, if you will. And then Bledsoe is contemporaries with Favre and Peyton Manning and that group of quarterbacks. And so that group of quarterbacks, they're all going to Tom Brady. They're all going to the Hall of Fame because they won Super Bowls. And Bledsoe left the Patriots with a Super Bowl ring, went to the Bills, was okay. I mean, he was good. The Bills didn't really do that much. He actually, I'm just seeing it now, he played for the Cowboys because remember, Parcells had him early in his career. In fact, I'm almost sure Bledsoe was the starting quarterback for the Patriots in the early 90s when they played Favre and the Packers in the Super Bowl in New Orleans. You'd have to go back and check me on this. I'm sure of it. But so Parcells brought Bledsoe to Dallas, and that didn't really go so well. So I just think that his career was here, and it just kept trending downward, unfortunately. Even though he was still great, he just, and the problem with it is that while he was going like this, Brady just kept going up and up and up and up. The Patriots just got better.
You're just crazy though, man. Like, you look at Troy Aikman, I get it, two Super Bowls, and that might be your whole point.
I think it was three.
So that might be your whole point. Like, but you look at the numbers, and we've been yelling about statistics all year, like all day. It's crazy, dude. It's freaking insane. Like, okay, he went to Buffalo, right? I'm just looking at it now. He went to Buffalo right after New England. He threw for 4,400 yards and 25 touchdowns. In 2002, this dude threw for 4,500 yards in 1994. Ain't nobody was fucking doing that in 1994.
No one.
Listen, I was eight, so I don't really remember, but still, like, damn. That's crazy.
You weren't passing like that. And that was the question that I wanted to ask him about, just how the games evolved from a passing standpoint. Because when you played, if you had 300 yards passing when Drew Bledsoe played, you was a beast. Now, getting 300 is just like, you should have had 300.
Why didn't you get 450?
Correct. Right. Yeah. 400 now is a big number.
You know what's funny is that people, I mean, I don't know how long the comedians are going to be able to milk this, but they are. And like Nikki Glaser was doing the Barstool rounds yesterday. And this is what I kind of wanted to ask Drew about, but we switched topics, but whatever. Like, what was Tom vibing after the thing? Because on stage, he looked so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And according to Nikki Glaser, I watched like a clip of her interview at one of the Barstool yesterday. Like, Tom kind of told the comedians, like, all right, good luck with your life, basically. Like, he wasn't like, dude, awesome. Like, let's hang out. Let's, like, you know, it was like, hey, good luck with your life. Yeah, like, nice, that's life. How, yeah, he was.
This life's good.
Yeah. Because, like, even, like, as good as she was, she's like, I had boundaries that I thought people would follow. Like, no kids, you know, stuff like that. Like, kind of family out of it. And obviously, that was not the case whatsoever. And she was like, the dude, that motherfucker was in shell shock.
Yeah.
Like, sitting there for a while. Like, he got it after a while. So I was going to ask Drew, like, hey, what was Tom's vibe like in the after parties? Like, he didn't look too happy on stage.
No. I would like to have Drew back on.
We better get him on soon because I think he's going to get a. I think he should get a TV job after these rounds, man.
I texted him yesterday and I said, hey, you know, man, you should do TV, you know, because you still have enough of a name. And by the way, you're as relevant today as you ever have been because of the docuseries on Apple, because of the roast. And I said, and it would do wonders for your wine in terms of promotion. And he said, you know, I've been thinking about maybe starting to do some stuff on YouTube. And I thought, now that's interesting that rather than go to the networks and be like kind of married to the microphone, he's actually thinking to himself, maybe I'll start a YouTube channel where he could talk football and probably
however he wants.
And I said to him, I said to him, Drew,
you should host it.
I said, Drew, let me help. I said, let me share what I've learned over the last 5 years about YouTube. Because let me tell you something, man, YouTube is hard. YouTube is very hard. I mean, Sam the Cooking Guy, I'll never forget when he said to us, and we got to hustle, but Sam the Cooking Guy would say to us, you guys shouldn't be doing daily sports talk. That's not how you're ever going to make money on YouTube. And I was like, yeah, but you do cooking. That's evergreen. That's going to live and last forever. Always. We do daily sports talk. And we put this stuff on radio. And maybe he's always been right. I don't know. But
wrong genre.
Well, no, but there are other people who are doing things on YouTube that are making money talking about whether it's gambling or, you know, whatever. But you know, as long as we still have like this radio thing going, that's kind of our, that's, I don't know, man. That sort of complicates things.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just, right, listen, if you were able to team up with Drew Bledsoe, the amount of people that he could get on the show.
Yeah.
Would literally raise the profile of every all high tide lifts all boats. You feel me?
Right. I do feel you. All right, listen to me. We got to roll. We're back tomorrow. Yes, we're gonna make it through an entire week. Yeah, we're gonna do it.
Maybe
do it. I know a lot of you guys give me. Yeah, time. You
don't get used to it because there's time off coming.
Oh, really? What's coming up?
Well, Memorial Day.
Okay.
Monday.
And then you said you got some graduation to go to on my birthday.
My daughter's graduation is Friday the 31st. Like I'm having a family reunion. All my kids are coming. My parents are coming. Nice, and so, that's like Thursday, Friday, which is like the 30th and 31st. And then the Monday, the 1st or the 4th of June, guess what I got to do?
Jury duty.
Nope. Colonoscopy. Worse.
Again?
What? Yeah. Well, when you say again, age, you do it like every 5 years.
I wasn't sure. Sorry. Yeah. I remember you doing it when we were in studio in Solana Beach.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 years.
So that this week between Memorial Day and Thursday, Friday, it's the same week.
This week coming up?
No. Like the 27th, I think, is Memorial Day, and 31st and 30th is your stuff.
Oh, that's gonna be a lot. That's gonna be a little bit.
You got to drink that stuff again?
I guess so, man. It kind of sucks too, because like, ooh, you know, there's a Saturday party for the graduation. There's a Sunday party for the graduation. And then I got to do this colonoscopy on Monday. So like, what time do you have to stop eating on Sunday and start drinking that stuff?
Isn't it like 12 hours before? Didn't you say that last time?
I think so, man.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. Listen to me. We got to go. We're back tomorrow. Love you guys. Peace out.